I remember. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be home. It really is. I desperately missed every one of you. I think about you all in my prayers as I go through that church directory every day, and I mention your names to God, and I know that He hears. I know He does. And it's a hard thing to be away from home, and it's a good thing to come home and to be there and to be a part of a family. And being a member of the family of God is so joyful. It's fulfilling. And it brings us to a place where we can lean upon one another and we can help one another in many, many ways. I'm absolutely certain that I heard little Kenny after the communion this morning, after the second prayer. I'm sure I heard him say amen. That's what I heard. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God." I think my lapel mic is off. Is that working? It's the power of God. Well, I want to talk to you today about an issue with a title that everyone can't be right. And it's so important to have that knowledge because we live in a world that brings tears to my eyes every day. And I speak the truth because I think about people that I've talked to throughout the week, strangers, total strangers, people who have a love for the Lord, people who worship in their own way, and people who would give their lives, literally, I believe, for their faith in Christ. And what's really sad and what really brings those emotions to me is when I read His words and they can't receive them. As Paul said, for us who are being saved, the words of God are the power of God. But to those who cannot receive them, it's just foolishness. And to have somebody who is sincerely, genuinely, lovingly in Christ, so sincerely wrong. Because when you read the words that are basic and simple, they deny the power of those words. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved is so easily understood. It's a simple grammatical statement. You can't confuse it. You have to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and you have to be baptized, which washes away your sins, and yet they can't receive it. And they will argue up and down in every way, shape, or form, and they can't receive it. And the truth is that everybody can't be right. In fact, there's only one right, and that's God. We think about this, and back when I had first been approached with this question about how many churches there are that are calling themselves Christians, I started searching, and this was way back in the 80s. The Dictionary of Christianity in America gives us a definition in 1980, identified 20,800 Christian denominations worldwide. And every one distinctly identifiable different from the other. In 1989, that number went from 20,800 to 23,000 competing. And they noted here, this is from the United Nations statistics on the World Census on Religious Activities, they noted often contradictory denominations. Can you imagine that? That we come in here today and argue back and forth and are contradictory, I've never seen that. I understand that there's questions and learning that goes on, but we have unity of faith because we all believe the same things. We believe the words of Christ. But unfortunately, in this world, everyone can't be right. In 2001, the census that was made came to a number of 33,820 denominations. Imagine that. 33,000 in just a few years from 20,000. It grows and it grows and it grows. There's a church in Akron that's called the Church of Jesus Christ, the Militant Church. Where do you get that name? And I don't understand it. But they do have different beliefs than many others. One of the things they believe is that you have communion. They believe communion every Lord's Day, but they believe it has to be with water, not with the grape. Because they believe that it represents the water that spilled from the side of the Lord when they pierced Him with that spear. And that we don't have any right to use the pure fruit of the vine because we'll never drink that again with the Lord until He comes back to drink it with us. That's how they interpret that. Plain English. But the truth is, everyone can't be right. And the truth is, there's a right way and a wrong way when it comes to our faith. If we have unity in faith, our unity means that we have unity in the belief of the words of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We're either believing it the right way, or we don't believe it the wrong way. And we can't afford the wrong way. Everyone can't be right. 32,000 plus denominations. And they all believe something different. The Baptists don't worship with the Methodists. The Methodists don't worship with the Apostolics. The Apostolics don't worship with the Pentecostals. And the Nazarenes don't worship with the Presbyterians. Why not? For the same reason we don't worship with a denomination. Because we believe differently. We believe the words, not the thoughts of man. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. And you know what? The way. I've asked that to thousands of people in the last few years. Thousands. And I always get the same answer. I've never had anybody tell me, well, that just means lots of ways. They always say one way. I say, what does the way mean? One way. What does the truth mean? They say one truth. How many lives are there? There's one life. How many ways are there to translate and to interpret? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. One way. But there's 32,000 plus denominations. So how do you reconcile the two? You can't. It's impossible. The Scripture itself cries out for unity. Paul said, hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures cry for unity. Our Scripture this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, I plead with you. I'm crying to you. I'm begging you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. And I will tell you that it is impossible for us to speak the same thing. It's never going to happen. Unless we're speaking the oracles of God. Unless we're speaking the words from God. But if I tell you that you have to believe, but you do not have to be baptized, then I am a liar and I am not speaking the same things as God, but of man. And that's a simple truth. And it brings tears to my eyes. I'm a very emotional person and I really get upset when I have a discussion with anybody in the world who can't accept simple grammatical truth. God's not the author of confusion. He didn't put these things down so that nobody could possibly understand. It's simple grammatical truth. But everybody can't be right. We have to all speak the same things. No divisions. Be perfectly joined together. One mind. That's the mind of Christ. Jesus prayed for unity in John chapter 17. Jesus wanted unity among Him, among the disciples, so that they would all believe and that we who come after them would believe because of their word. That we would be in them and us, and in us in Christ, and we're all in God in unity. That's what Jesus wanted. Unity. Think of all those ones in Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. There's only one church, one body. Unity. Jesus died on the cross for unity. You think about this. Ephesians 2. Paul said, so as to create in himself one new man from two. Creating unity. Taking the diverse thoughts, the two different ways, bringing them into one through the cross. Thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body through the cross. Therefore putting to death the enmity. That enmity is the problem. You know what enmity is? That comes from a Greek word, ekthra. Ekthra means to feud, to discord, to have hostility and alienation, reason for opposition. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Yes, for our sins, to save us. But He died to put everything into one, and through that cross to put to death the enmity, the feuding and the discording, the hostility and the alienation and the reason for opposition. That's why He did that. Think about that word, ekthra, when you read these verses. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. That's the worldly mind. The ways of the world is enmity, alienation, reason for opposition, hostility, discord, feuding with God. When we got to have it our way instead of His ways, that's enmity. The Lord's people love the God of creation. They love the Word of the Lord, and they don't argue with God about such things. We just receive His Word and praise Him for His great might and power and His working in our lives, because He uplifts us. He takes away that enmity. He takes away all the alienation and the opposition. Think about this. The friendship with the world is enmity with God. James says, you adulterers and you adulteresses, do not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. That means if you're a friend of the world, the way of the world, those 32,000, 33,000 plus denominations, so you're part of them, and guess what? That means that you are hostile to God. It means you're opposing God. It means that you're feuding against God. It means you're alienating yourself from God. That's what it means to be a friend of the world. And then, you know why? Because people look for answers everywhere except in the Scriptures. When I talked to a young man from the Catholic background I sat in my car with him and read in the Bible where Jesus says, you call no man father on the earth, for you have one Father, that's your Father in heaven. And you know what he said? I never heard that. I'm going to go ask my priest what that means. What do you mean and what it... You're a high school student. Don't call any man father on earth. What does that mean? I don't know. I got to go ask my priest. That's why there's confusion. That's why there's denomination. That's why there's disunity, opposition, feuding, and hostility. Because people can't just believe the words as they're written. They got to have reasons to explain why it doesn't say that. You know, the Lord, one body. We, being so many, are one body in Christ. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into Christ. You were called in one body, right? Ephesians 4:4 puts a stamp on it. There is one body. Not two, not 33,800 and plus today. You know, one of the reasons that people have struggles in the Scriptures is because they'll take one verse and they compete it or make it a feud against the other verse. For by grace you are saved through faith. Right? So that means you don't have to be baptized. See, this verse says you've got to have faith. That's all you got to have to be saved. By the grace and the power of God to turn away from sin, you can be saved. That's it. Doesn't say anything about baptism there. That's what people do. And the Scriptures cry out for unity. Yes, we're saved by faith through grace. What is faith? Faith is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who's right? God is right. Everybody who disagrees with that is wrong, including me. There's one body. There's a right way, and there's a wrong way. And division comes when you just don't believe. It is an interpretation that causes division. It's not translations that cause divisions. It's faith, or the lack of faith, that causes divisions. You either believe the words or you don't believe the words. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And that's the division. The division, the problem, isn't between man and man. The division problem is between man and God. When Paul said that if you can't receive these things, it's not man that you're arguing with, it's God. There is a right way and a wrong way. And it's really simple. Look at that. Let God be true and every man a liar. What else does it say? Does it say let man be true and what God says a lie? Absolutely not. That's man that says that. It is really simple. Of course, then we get ourselves involved with the world. John Lennon, the Beatles, they started all kinds of trouble and it still exists today. Yesterday, coming home from Cleveland, the Beatles were on listening to this 60s music on the, and they sang a song and I started singing it with them. And then I started listening to those words and I thought, I used to sing this song. You know, that's not a good song. That's not a good song. Imagine if there's no God. Imagine if there's no heaven. Imagine if there's no hell. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Twist and shout. That's such a fun song to sing, but you know what? Listen to the words. John Lennon said, I believe in God, but not as one thing, not as an old man in the sky. I believe that what people call God is something in all of us, implying that we are defining what God is. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said is right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong. That's John Lennon's wisdom. It's not wisdom. It's not a translation gone wrong, it's contradictions. Even in his own statement, there's contradictions. John Lennon said Buddha was right. Buddha teaches in reincarnation. He said he's just as right as Jesus, who said there's no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed unto all men to die once, but after that the judgment. That's contradictory to Buddha. Who's right? John Lennon says that Muhammad was right. Muhammad said that people claim that Jesus was killed, the Messiah, and Maryam, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, is what Muhammad said. They didn't kill Jesus. But Jesus' face or body was put over another man and they killed that man. That's what he said. Who's right? The Scripture says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Who's right? John Lennon's not right. Muhammad's not right. Christ died for our sins. On that sign above the Lord's head, it said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. You know that sign was commissioned by Pilate. Pilate knew who he was having sent to be crucified. You think those soldiers that were in that praetorium and took Jesus in there and they spit on him and stripped him and put that crown of thorns deep into his head and mocked him? You think they didn't know who they were crucifying? You think that when Jesus was on that cross and his mother was down there and he looked down and looked at her and said, "Woman, behold your son." You think that she didn't know that was her son on the cross? It was just a trick. A nasty trick. Who would have had to have done that trick? God, who's not the author of confusion. That was Jesus on the cross. And there is no confusion. Muhammad's wrong. He can't be Muhammad, Jesus, and all these people be right if they're all contradicting each other. John Lennon says it's just the translations have gone wrong. That's the interpretation. Here, I want to give you an experience in interpretation. Somebody tell me what that means. Raise your hand if you know this verse. You know why? Because you need it translated.
Lege autau ha Jesus ego emi ha hadas kai he aletheia kai he zoe hudes ekatai prostan patera en me de emu. He said to him, the Jesus. Jesus said to him, ego emi, I am, he hadas, the life. I am the way, kai he aletheia, the life, or the truth, and eidos ekatai, the way to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it says. But that's English, see? You don't need a translator. You don't need me to stumble up here. Just read the words. That's where interpretation doesn't apply. We're not interpreting Scripture to ourselves. We're just applying the words to our lives. You know, the NIV, the NIV, all these translations say the same thing. All these scholars who know this language a whole lot better than me, every one of them translated it the same way. We don't need to translate it. We don't need to interpret it. We just need to read it and believe it. But people got us convinced that our interpretations are wrong. It's not so. Here's another verse that people don't interpret. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. They interpret that all the time, telling us what it means and what it doesn't mean. Here's an example in the world. This fellow named Michael Lane, answering the question, why are there so many churches? He said the complete answer is rather complex and deals with psychology and sociology more than anything else. However, at the heart of it lies two factors, that the Bible requires interpretation and that we are fallen creatures. I agree with that. It did require interpretation. That's why it's in English now instead of Greek. That's why the Old Testament's in English instead of Hebrew or Aramaic. It's already interpreted. It's already been translated. And we are fallen creatures. No question. But then he says, let's start with the interpretation issue. I don't want to give the impression that it's a bad thing. It's how God has chosen to give us revelation. But there is no escaping the fact that we are far removed from the Bible's writings in terms of culture, language, time. Two intelligent, honest, and sincere people can read certain passages and come up with two different and opposing interpretations. For this reason, there will always be people who disagree on how we should worship. Now I'm talking about little things, he says, not big things. No one could be honest and sincerely read the New Testament and believe that Jesus is not the Messiah. But he did not die for our sins, was not raised from the dead. You know what's wrong here? Is that he's claiming that because maybe baptism doesn't mean today what it used to mean back then. And that's not true. You can read your New Testament and you do study the history and you know how to apply things, but when it comes to the saving of our soul, none of that matters, because the words all say the same. Just like we know and would never disagree that Jesus is the Messiah. We would never disagree that He died for our sins, and we wouldn't disagree that He was raised from the dead. But let's look again. I do not think someone could come away with different impressions about whether a woman should serve in the church. And he's referring to elders and deacons. Men should always have short hair, or whether we must baptize babies. And at the end of this, he says, start a new church with like-minded believers. I want you to remember that. Let's look at these really quick. These topics. Bibles requires interpretation. Unity through the Scripture. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We're not interpreting. We're just trusting. For the word of the Lord is right and true. That's not interpreting, that's just trusting. Luke said, search the Scriptures daily, whether these things are so. That's not interpreting, that's trusting. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's not interpreting, that's just trusting. The Bible does not require our interpretation. To interpret means to tell the meaning of. Act of process, interpreting or explaining. When we think about that, all we're doing is explaining what the words of the Bible mean. Where we come short is when we try to explain why they don't mean what they mean. That's not interpretation. That's a lack of faith. Do not lean on your own understanding. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word. That's how we do this. You read the Scriptures, you rightly divide them, and you explain what they mean. That's proper interpretation. But to say it doesn't mean that, which I hear a lot, it doesn't mean that, that's not interpretation. That's just a lack of faith. Women in the church. Paul simply said, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. In the church, women are not to be preachers. That's interpreting wrongly, if you say they are. In the church, women shouldn't teach over men. That's teaching wrongly, if you say they should. And women shouldn't be elders. What's the qualification for an elder? The husband of one wife. How many women are the husbands of one wife? Have a husband, it doesn't work. Can't even say it. Same thing with deacons. Elders must be the husband of one wife. Deacons, let deacons be the husbands of one wife. So we the qualifications aren't there. So the answer is no. Should men have long hair? Well, men, does not even nature, Paul said, teach that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't have to worry about it. But that's what the Scripture says. Should my hair be down to my knees? I don't think so. I think I should have hair that's cut appropriate, short, just because of the Scripture. I'm not going to argue with the Scripture. Baptism is for the remission of sins, so we can't baptize babies. They don't have sin. Sins are a transgression of God's law, and the babies can't transgress God's law. The Son shall not bear the iniquities of the Father. We don't need to baptize babies because they don't carry the sins of the Father. The Scriptures are right. The Bible says, unless you're converted and become as little ones, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to become like the babies, not make babies come like us. That's what Jesus said. Listen to his final advice. Discover your beliefs and your interpretations. Once you feel comfortable with what the Lord is asking you to know, you hear how he words that? When you're happy with what you think the Lord's letting you know, that's when you go out and you find a church that is most closely aligned with what you believe. What happened to trust in the word of the Lord? Lean not on your own understanding. You see, that's how they get started. A man sits in a room and he reads the Bible, but he's not real happy with what it says, so he just thinks some more. And you keep thinking until you come up with thoughts that please you, and then you go and start your own church that way. And it's okay, because you believe in Jesus. That's not what the Scripture says. Where's the unity? God doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. The Word doesn't change. So unity comes from these things. We can't have 32,000 different churches. Where's the unity? Man changes the words to meet his purposes. That's what he said. You meditate, you think, until you get the things the way you like them clear in your mind, and then you go and join that church. Romans chapter 1. These are the men who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And no matter what, Jesus said the Scriptures cannot be broken. No matter what they say, that's what it means. We can't change it. You can't break that continuity. We believe in God. We obey Him through His Word. Between the members of the body, we love and obey the Lord. That's the way it should be. That's what real unity is. Think about this. There's a lost sinner. They believe the words of God. They're baptized into Christ. Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. The Bible says that when they're baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. Galatians 3:27, you're added to the body of Christ. And in that body, there's one head, Jesus. It's not Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha. It's not Jesus, Billy Graham, and Dave Scarpino. It's Jesus, period, end. One head. And in that body, there's many believers. They have unity. They all believe the same things. They're the body of Christ. They're joined together by their faith in the Word of God. We need to examine ourselves. Can you fill in the blanks? If you're here today, look at the screen and fill in the blank. He who believes in his blank shall be saved. Fill it in. Arise and be blank, washing away your sins. Blank also does now save us. Fill in the blanks. If you know the blanks, that's because you believe the word and you probably are trusting that word. You know, I ask these questions to people all the time. And I say, repent and be blank for the remission of your sins. And people all the time put in the word faith. They put in faith. Repent and be faithful for the remission. That's what they put in there. You know why? Because that's what they've been taught by the false teachers and these liars, these denominations. They don't believe the words of God. You know, that's the taboo teaching in almost every denomination is the discussion on baptism. 32 A.D. was the day that the church was formed in Jerusalem, and the day of Pentecost. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 36. And when you read that, you realize that the souls were added to the church for the first time, right then and there, on that day. Christ is the head of that church, and the church belongs to Him by design. Jesus says, I will build my church. He made the plans, they were executed. And we have His church. The Lord paid for it with His blood. The faithful have been added to the church ever since that first act. And you think about this. These are the facts. This is what it is. Christ is the head. The church belongs to Him. It's paid for with His blood. And people are added to that church by God. And the name of that church in Romans 16:16 is the churches of Christ. So it's pretty simple. Church, Jerusalem, Christ, 32 AD, Church of Christ. That's the church. The Baptist Church was founded in Holland in 1609. Menno Simons, John Smythe, wrong place, wrong time, wrong head. The Church of God, Tennessee, A.J. Tomlinson, 1886, wrong name, wrong place, wrong time, wrong head. Nazarene, John and Charles Wesley, wrong place, wrong time, wrong head. Think about that. This is a world-made secular diagram about the church. Look at this. Early Christianity. You see what it says? Early Christianity started 32 AD. Christ is the head. The name of its Church of Christ. But they show that somewhere out there, people started splitting away. And if you look for the church that you're familiar with, if it's not the Church of Christ, you'll find it on this chart. The extended chart. But you know what they leave out? Is the church never fell away. It never died. It's always been here, and it's still here, the one true church. Jesus, the only time that church is going to come to an end in that respect is when the Lord delivers it to the Father in heaven. I've been in 14 different states, and I've eaten this 2 all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, and sesame seed bun a lot. And it's always the same. Every restaurant I go to, it's the same. And I've been to 14 different states or more, and I've visited the Lord's people, and every time I go, it's the same. You know why? Because they all have the same manual. They all teach from the same source. That's why. There's God in the beginning. He created all things. Sin came into the world. We needed Jesus. Because of that, Jesus came into the world and He taught the apostles. The apostles founded the church. The apostles left us something called the Word of God. That Word of God is the way, the truth, and the life that leads us to heaven. The right way, the right truth, the right life. That leads us to heaven. That's where we want to be. That's the goal. Somewhere along the line, there was splits. They called them schisms. Churches started anew, different churches, different heads, different times, different places. Till today, in our world, we have these 32,000 plus denominations out there, all calling themselves Protestants, all claiming Jesus, all doing everything right except obeying the Word of God. Contrary terms. So the question is, where are you? Are you here? With all the denominations? Are you part of a Baptist, a Methodist, a Nazarene, something that never even existed until the latter parts of the centuries? Is that where you're part of? Is that what you call home? Is that who you trust and obey? Is that who you believe? Is that who you think is going to get you into heaven? Because if you do, you're in the wrong place. Because it's called missing the mark. These churches, they're good, honest, caring, loving people, devoted in every way, sincerely believing what they believe, but they're sincerely wrong. And they are missing the mark because they're not on that way. Right there. This is where you need to be. If you're not here, then you need to come. If we think about this, there's going to be a division. There's going to be a division. The division, though, isn't going to be here on earth. What this division down here is preparing us for that one division that will come in the end when Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus will come and He'll divide up the world. One on the left, one on the right. There's the division. That's the division you need to care about. When He divides the goats from the sheep, and the goats are the lost and the sheep are the saved, and those who are lost will go into everlasting punishment and the righteous into everlasting life, eternal life. There's a division coming. And you need to set yourself up so that when the division comes, you're on the right side. Here's the final statement. To the law and the testimony. You hear that? To the law, the Word of God, and the testimony of God. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Doesn't matter how they appear. Satan appears as an angel of light. But if they're not speaking this word, there is no light in them. We need you to know the right way. Because certainly if you're not on the right way, you're on the wrong way. Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you need to make sure you're on the right way. If there is the tiniest fabric of doubt, even a cobweb in a corner somewhere of a 60-story building, that little tiny cobweb is going to cause that building to crash and burn when the Lord comes back. And that crashing and burning will be everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord because they couldn't just teach and obey this word. Behold, James says, the judge is standing at the door. I want to extend an invitation to anyone here today, anyone who has not obeyed the Lord. It's a simple thing. The Bible tells us we have to hear. The Bible tells us we have to believe. In John chapter 8, verse 24, the Scripture says that if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We must believe. We must confess Matthew 16:16, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. We have to repent of our sins. And that repentance is a godly sorrow for sin that leads to Him. That repentance that is commanded by Christ, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Luke 13:3, the Scripture tells us. We must be immersed in the water, not as an outward sign of an inward experience, not because we're showing our faith in the love for Christ. You can't find that in the Bible. That's the teaching of man, not the teaching of our mighty Creator God. He said, you're baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2:38. He said, you're baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He's right. Everyone else is wrong. And if you have done so, then you have to remain faithful. Remain faithful until death, and the Lord will give you a crown of life. And if you're a Christian and you haven't been faithful, if you're a Christian and you've sinned in some way, if it's public, you need to make a public confession of that sin. If it's private, you need to make that private confession and that desire to turn away in repentance to God in your own private time. But you can't let it go. And so the invitation stands. If you have a need, I would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing number 599.